Are you one of the 149 million people over the age of 16 who enjoys spending time recreating in God's creation? If so, we'd like to invite you to join us on today's Trail to Adventure. Together, we'll meet outdoor personalities who are using what they do afield or stream to show those in their sphere of influence about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the host of God's Great Outdoors, Jerry Calouette.
Well, all right, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, and we're here in Oxford, Alabama at the Trinity Baptist Church doing one of our one-day conferences on how to do outdoor ministry. I have a number of pros that come in and help and share, and one of those is Keith Jennings. And Keith, we've had you on the program before. You've been a great friend of the ministry, but welcome back for all our listeners to hear what's going on.
Thank you, Jerry. It's good to be back. Good to see you again today.
Well, it's good to see you, and it was great to see those that came in that want to use God's creation, Romans 1:20, where we're without excuse from what has been made, to not see that there is a creator God, and tying that to Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Both of those have the word poemo in them, only place it's found in the Bible. So tying God's creation and a changed life together, folks get a double blast of the Creator God through outdoor ministry, and that's what we're talking about. And Keith, some of our listeners might not be familiar with your history. You got involved in archery way back when you were a kid. Years ago, I would think it's ties to my involvement with archery back when you could smell the cedar shafts and the feathers burning and listen to the whir of the motor as the shafts were turning and you were putting the paints on them, which is called cresting, and the old days when there were not even compounds. Let's talk about how you got started in the outdoors when it comes to archery.
Well, I got started, really the passion came from watching my dad and my uncles. They would take deer season off. I grew up in upstate New York, and deer season in those days was 10 days long. There was 5 days of archery and 5 days of slug gun hunting. They'd take the 10 days off and they'd hunt together. And every day they would come in at lunchtime and come in at night, and they were just having so much fun. They were telling stories, the one they missed or got away or whatever, you know. They had so much fun, and I remember from the time I was little thinking, I'm going to hunt like that someday. And then, of course, we didn't have very much money, so we had to make our own bows, you know, when I was a kid. And so I started playing around, making bows and arrows and messing around with different things to use for arrow rests, and found out an old used toothbrush works really good for an arrow rest on a recurve bow and things like that. You know, you just mess around with stuff, get them working. And
now, Keith, there are people listening that might not understand what I'm talking about. But in those days, you mentioned 5 days of gun hunting, 5 days of archery. Those gun hunters, many of them, hated archery guys because they were shooting their deer.
Yeah, well, they got to hunt before the gun hunters did, and they didn't like that. They didn't like those guys being out there, and they also didn't understand bows, you know. They thought nobody should be shooting at deer with arrows, and so that's always been a bit of a thing between sportsmen, and my dad had a pretty good saying for that. Everybody should be a bow hunter, and gun season should be get even time. So it was that way and still is a little bit, you know. There still is a little bit of conflict between different kinds of hunters. You know, I feel like anybody that's out there using a legal weapon hunting, you know, we need to stick together as much as we can. There isn't many of us anymore. There's only 13.5 million hunters in the whole country. Fortunately, the vast majority of people are hunting neutral, and about 5% of the population is anti-hunting. Unfortunately, the anti-hunters get their way a lot, and hunters don't, but hunters need to stick together, cheer for each other rather than bicker at each other. 10th grade, I started making arrows. Cedar and fiberglass was just starting to come into, this was the early 70s and 40 years ago, and fiberglass arrows were just starting to get fairly popular, and I used to get blank shafts from a company called Herders, which was a big mail order company back in those days, and bought nocks and feathers and points and made arrows and crested them, did all that, and my dad was my favorite customer, and then started selling arrows to other folks, and before long I was making hundreds of dozens, and then got into the retail business and started a store in upstate New York, just north of Ithaca, a little town called Lansing, South Lansing, because there were more bow hunters in that county than anywhere else in in upstate New York, and started consulting with manufacturers on how they could take their products to market. There were a lot of guys coming into the industry then. You know, compounds were just starting to get popular, and a lot of bow hunting enthusiasts were inventing products they had no idea how to take to market. And so I would work as a consultant, as an independent sales rep, marketing consultant, and help manufacturers get products to market, and just took off from there.
And of course, from time to time, you were successful with that archery equipment, brought home some venison, and it smelled so good, it was cooking. Folks, that's reminding me that my wife Cindy is standing by today to share today's recipe. Do send in your recipes and how you prepare the wild fish, game, or plants that you harvest. Let us know who it is you're spending time in the outdoors with, what kind of an activity it is you like to do, and you'll get a copy of Steve Chapman's books, their autograph for that recipe. We'll be right back after Cindy shares this.
Now friends, if you are looking for some of the best wild game and fish recipes to savor the experience of your family's time of field or stream, we've got the cookbook for you. Steve Chapman, author of A Look at Life from a Deer Stand, and his wife Annie have teamed up to write The Hunter's Cookbook. This book is packed with over 200 recipes to turn wild meats and fish into mouth-watering meals. Also scattered amongst the pages are Steve's family's hunting and fishing stories to read while cooking, and Steve Chapman's hand-sketched drawings to complement the stories and recipes too. The Hunter's Cookbook by Steve and Annie Chapman is on our website store at ggoutdoors.org, or call us here at 937-698-3656 to order over the phone. And would you please like us on Facebook at God's Great Outdoors Radio? Remember Genesis 9:3, everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything.
We're back, Jerry Calluette, God's Great Outdoors, again here in Oxford, Alabama, Trinity Baptist Church, doing one of our one-day conferences on how to do outdoor ministry, and I'm with Keith Jennings. Keith, you were consulting folks, and this is a guy who started making arrows just in his basement or wherever it might be in the home, and your career went from there.
Yeah, I worked as a sales rep for Golden Eagle Archery and managed their sales people up in the Northeast for 14 years. Started a youth bow company called Seneca, which was purchased by Easton Sports in 1993, I think that was. And then I went to Realtree, spent almost 10 years at Realtree as their archery category manager, and eventually the director of the licensing program there. Fantastic company, reaches all around the world, you know, with camouflage. And then got together with Matt McPherson at Matthews, and Matt had designed a camo pattern. Matt's got over 90 patents, copyrights, trademarks, camo patterns, those kinds of things. And Matt had an idea to create a program that would raise money for ministries, and in particular, national missionaries. He had started the program with a bow case manufacturer called Black's Creek Guide Gear, and they were putting Matthews' name on some bow cases, selling them to Matthews retailers, paying Matthews a royalty. And Matt was taking that money and building churches in India at the time, drilling wells, building churches. And so he had an idea to want to expand that program. And when he developed Lost Camo in 2007, he brought me on board to kind of expand that program. And Matt takes that money, Matt and Sherry take that money, and they're supporting 750 missionaries with it now. So it's grown every year.
Well, certainly that is an exciting goal to have, helping engineer that plan. Without a plan, the people perish. Opportunities to use some folks' passion for outdoors, hunting, not necessarily specifically archery, but that's a major part of it. From that, the target is to see people come into the kingdom. Can't ask for more than that. We're going to take another break, and we're going to find out some of the things that you shared while you were here at the conference, and we'll be right back after this.
Since July 6, 1996, God's Great Outdoors Radio and Ministry has been on the air to help listeners win others to the Creator God, Jesus Christ. The program is made possible because of the financial help of our listeners, and for this help we are truly blessed. Additional underwriting support is by Matthews Archery and the new V3 compound bow, plus Mission Archery with a revolutionary technology and design that provides a maximum crossbow experience. Also, Three Rivers Archery, supplying what one needs to make their own bows and arrows, and Hunter Safety System, saving lives is what we do. Also, Phil Havens Technology, LLC, a website designer and maintenance service provider.
What if there was a recreational ministry that targeted all students, regardless of age or physical ability? Well, there is. Center Shot Ministries is an archery program that shares the love of Christ while teaching the fundamentals of target archery. This is a proven and successful archery instruction that can even be done inside your church. Center Shot engages the students for Christ and develops their skills in archery. Check out their website at centershotministries.org or call 920-634-5978.
Christian Bowhunters of America, exalting Jesus Christ as Creator, Lord, and Savior, locally, nationally, and internationally. For membership information and to see how you can get involved, go to their website at christianbowhunters.org or call toll-free at 877-912-5724. That's 877-912-5724.
We're back, Jerry Calluette, God's Great Outdoors, with Keith Jennings, Matthews Bows, the Lost Camo, you've talked about that, but they've had a line of mission bows, a portion of that goes to ministries and mission fields. But you were looking at some of the things that the men here needed to consider as they looked at outdoor ministry and the importance of keeping that focused. And again, we're at Trinity Baptist Church in Oxford, Alabama. Maybe there's some points that you could share with our listeners that might move them to the thought, you know, I should be doing that now too.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, the passion that exists with outdoor enthusiasts, hunters and fishermen. You know, here in Alabama, there's over a million of them. One out of every five residents in the state of Alabama participates in hunting and fishing activities. So it's quite an audience. It's a passionate audience. The hunters and fishermen in the state of Alabama contribute $3.25 billion annually to the economy here in Alabama because they love what they do and they have a passion for it. And really, we need to harness that passion for the sake of sharing the gospel with them. And, you know, there are people, whether they hunt or whether they fish, when they spend time in God's great outdoors, God's talking to them. He's speaking to them through his creation. Scripture says the heavens declare the glory of God. Night after night, they pour forth speech. That is, he communicates to us by virtue of his creation. And when people have a chance to get in the woods or to get in a boat or sit on a riverbank with dangling a worm and they get away from the noise and they get away from the commotion of everyday life and they get away from the hustle and bustle and they have time to just soak that in, God's talking to them. Whether they know it or whether they don't, he is, because his creation does speak to us. And so I really believe that those people that participate in those kinds of activities are prime candidates to hear the gospel because God's been preparing them. Every trip to the woods, every trip to the lake, to the river, God's been preparing them to hear the truth of his message. And his message is real simple. You're a sinner and Jesus is a savior and you need him. That's quite frankly what they need to hear more than anything else. There's a lot of problems in our nation today. And Jesus said, you overcome evil with good. There's only one thing that's good. That's Jesus Christ. And when the gospel message comes into a person's life, it changes that person for the better. And that's what we need in our schools. That's what we need in our homes. That's what we need in our communities. And that's why it's such a vital thing for churches to be involved in outreach activities to get to the people in our community that are passionate about the great outdoors.
Keith, I believe some of this are actually nuggets that come out of your book, Bows and Arrows of the Bible. Why don't we tell the listeners about that project and really what the book is all about?
Well, it's the result of a lifelong study of ancient archery designs and how archery evolved along with the history of mankind. Archaeologists tell us that the bow was the second most important discovery, with fire being the very first most important discovery in early man. And from the very beginning, it was the very first object, if you will, of the international arms race. The country that had the best archers and were the best with the bows ruled the entire world. And several countries went through that privilege of owning and running the entire world from one empire to the other, when you look at the history of men. So archery's always been important to mankind. And scripture is an ancient book. Moses wrote the first five books few thousand years before Jesus was even born. And in those early books, even in the book of Job, the oldest book, there are plenty of mentions of archery terms. And in ancient times, those terms had a little different meaning than they do to us today when we read them in English. The word sin is a great example. You know, we run into that word in the scripture often. And it's really hard for us to understand in the English language. Well, what does that word mean? You don't hear it unless you go to church or you have somebody preaching at you. You don't hear that word sin. It's not a word people use around the water cooler at work. It's a strange word in the English language. But to ancient people, they understood what it meant plainly. It was a term that was used in weapons tournaments, which was their form of competition entertainment. They had football and baseball and basketball and NASCAR. They had weapons tournaments. And weapons tournaments would tell who was the best with the sword, who was the best with the javelin, who was the best with the bow and arrow. And the archery tournaments that they had then were very different than what we have today. The Olympics, for instance, today they shoot 90 meters, which is just a little about the length of a football field, roughly. Then they shot 200 yards, 250 yards. The target kept moving back until there was one man standing. And the targets would get so far away from the spectators that they couldn't see whether the arrow was hitting the target or not. And usually the target was a warrior's shield, because that was the object, of course. There would be a spotter, because the target was so far away, there would be a spotter downrange. And when the arrow was shot to the target, the spotter would run out and look at it. If the arrow hit the target, he would yell back to the crowd, "Mark!" If the arrow missed the target, he would yell back to the crowd, "Sin!" So when the Apostle Paul came along and wrote, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," it was real easy for them to understand what he was talking about. That target is God's mark for us. And we all missed it, every single one of us. And he goes on to say that the wages of sin, in other words, the wages of missing that target, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So powerful word pictures in those archery terms that are in the scriptures, and that's what that little book's all about. It's what those archery terms were and what they are and what they really mean. You know, the pictures that they were meant to paint, which is often very different than how we take them when we read them in the English language.
Well, certainly it's an excellent book for folks that maybe your loved one hunts with a rifle. That really was the rifle of the day, because they hadn't invented gunpowder yet. So you might consider getting this for someone that you love. Men use it for Bible studies. An opportunity for you in the book Bows and Arrows of the Bible to maybe see someone come to Christ. Or it may help them grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ as well. Keith, appreciate you sharing with the listeners here today on the program, and also being here at the conference and being a part of what we're doing here to help equip these folks to do outdoor ministry. Thanks again for being here on God's Great Outdoors.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jerry. Thank you, and thank you for all the work you're doing.
Now, friends, as you've been listening, I think that you got the idea that Keith Jennings puts an awful lot of store in a relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing who the Creator God is and what He's done for us. And you know what? It's the same thing He can do for you. If you've been listening to this and you have said your heart has been touched in such a way that you are desiring to be free of your sins and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to have the certainty that if you died this minute, you know that you would be welcomed into the presence of the Creator God, Jesus Christ, and He would say to you, "Well done, come into my presence." And you'd be able to enjoy that peace that does pass all understanding, having that relationship with God, knowing for certain that you'd be with Him for eternity, and He has gone and prepared a place for those who have that relationship, and you'd be able to partake of that. the opposite is hell, wailing and gnashing of teeth, a fire and outer darkness. Separation from God, that's what that outer darkness is. That absence of the presence of God. And no, you won't be able to hook up with all your friends because there'll be no connection with anyone else in the torment that was prepared for the demons, those angels that followed Satan. Friends, hell was never meant for man. It was only meant for them. We trespass when we die if we have refused that free gift of the blood that was shed on the cross. If you'd like to begin that first-time relationship and you're wishing there was someone that you could talk to, you know there is, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. Again, that number is 1-888 and the words need him. We all need Jesus Christ. Don't wait. Make that call. Again, I promise you'll be so glad that you did. 1-888-NEED-HIM. There's folks there waiting day and night, 7 days a week, to help you begin that first-time relationship with Jesus Christ and having that peace that if you died, you'd be ushered into the presence of the God Eternal who made all of us and the world around us. Please make that call today, 1-888-NEED-HIM. I do promise you will be so glad that you did.
Here's a My Biggest Hunting Blunder from God's Great Outdoors. You would think the owner and president of the largest selling bag-style archery target company, Morrell Manufacturing Incorporated, would always hit the bullseye. Well, you would think so, but Dale's access to an assortment of targets manufactured by his company, no matter how much time he might try to put in on the archery range, does not transform him into the bionic bowman, as he is still quite human. But the occasional arrow missing its mark is not his most nagging problem when it comes to pursuing trophy-class whitetail bucks. Dale has to continue to remind himself to not move or look around too much and to always stay alert while deer hunting. Time and again, he has blown it on big bucks, spikes, and even does, all because of not being alert constantly. It has plagued him so many times, it's hard to pick just one incident, but there was one, and he didn't have to travel far as it happened in his home state of Arkansas. Dale was hunting during the middle of November on a partly cloudy day. The leaves had about completed their transformation to the assorted God-given colors, and for the most part had let go and sailed to the ground, leaving the trees quite bare. This factor could have added to Dale's problem, which he has named the relaxed mode. Dale states, "I can only sit in the stand for 2 or 3 hours at the most. I've done that all day sitting before. I just can't do it." Well, Dale's tree stand was hanging 15 feet above the forest floor as several does came working their way through the location he was hunting. As the does moved off, even though the rut was in, Dale let his guard down and shifted his body position. That's when a very respectable 10-point buck that was there all along caught Dale's movement and snorted him back to a full alert. But it was too late. The buck stomped his hooves and departed for places unknown. Dale may have moved at the wrong time then, but his timing wasn't off when it comes to asking Jesus Christ to save him from an eternity of separation from God in hell. You also can have that same assurance, and the timing is right for you, too. For a free booklet on the subject by Charlie Alsheimer called The Ultimate Hunt, write, call, or email us here at God's Great Outdoors. And we'll include The Greatest Hunt of All written by Dwight Shue and Hunting for a Father by Russell Thornberry.
Did you enjoy that story? Do you know that you can get that story in the book Hunting Blunders and the One That Got Away? You can get copies to give to those that God has placed on your heart that you know need to have a personal relationship with the Creator in the creation they love to enjoy. You can order copies through our web store at ggoutdoors.org, or you can call us toll-free at 1-877-TALK-GGO. Why don't you contact us and get a copy today?
From time to time, we get contacts asking if it is okay to fish, hunt, or even eat meat. Well, we've taken scripture verses that deal with this subject and put them on a handy little bookmark to place in your Bible. To get your free copy of Should Man Hunt? What Does the Bible Say? Contact us right away. The bookmark can help share scripture sportsmen want to hear. This then opens the door for your telling of their need for the Creator Jesus Christ in their lives. Call 1-877-TALK-GGO.
We'd love to hear how God has spoken to you. Email us at ggoutdoors@aol.com. I'm John Skillman, inviting you to always consider how to make wise use of your time in God's great outdoors.